Well, today's edition of the Retirement Elevated podcast, we are going to be talking about life. Yes, life's biggest questions. No, the fact that life is full of surprises. And you know what? That's not going to change when you get to retirement. And so what we're going to do is look at some of the common retirement surprises based on a fascinating study. And we thought this was worth sharing with you. We're going to link to it in the episode description as well. And if you're curious about what surprises your retirement might have in store for you, then this is going to be the episode for you. So stay tuned. Let's bring in Scott and get to it.
Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for your Retirement Elevated.
Hey, welcome to another episode. Walter Storholt here alongside Scott Dugan. Scott, good to be with you. What's going on in your world, my friend? We're almost to May, if you can believe that.
It is hard to believe that it's... Earth's rotation is sped
faster.
Up.
It's definitely spinning faster.
Something's going on.
That's right.
For sure.
That's right. The world revolves around us, Scott, and it's moving faster. And so that's leading to these feelings.
I wonder if that's going to be one of our surprises today.
Surprise. That would be a surprising fact for anyone in retirement. The world is spinning faster the older you get. I love it. Well, this is from, we're going to link to this in the show notes, by the way. So this is an article that you came across, Scott, thought it was brilliant, wanted to talk about it here on the show. And so this is from the Retirement Manifesto. Again, check the show notes of today's episode if you want to go and check out the full article. But yeah, 9 retirement surprises. People probably didn't think they could still be surprised by something when they get to retirement, but here we are.
They definitely can. And actually, this whole article is about a study from the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. And the title of it is Life in Retirement, Pre-Retiree Expectations versus Retiree Realities. And so to give you context, the study surveyed 2,546 workers age 50 plus and 2,104 retirees and compared the responses between the two groups. And that's how they came up with the 9 retirement surprises, which we're going to hit the high points of today. The reason we're attaching the article, a lot of great graphs in here and some links out. And so if you like data, like visual data, definitely click on it, spend time looking at it, and have any questions, obviously reach out. Love to chat.
Excellent. Yeah, that'll be fantastic. In fact, let me flip the switch a little bit today and flip things around. I usually give the contact information at the end of the show, Scott, but this might be a good time to do it at the beginning of the show this time. 913-393-4724 if you want to get in touch with Scott if any questions pop up as you listen to today's show, or you can go online to listentoscott.com. All right, so you ready to start tackling some of these surprises?
Let's do it. So as we get into these, just so you know, the author went through the entire 72 pages of the study and distilled it down to a handful.
Thank you, author. We appreciate
that. So if you really want to get into it, you can go out to that study. I think he did a great job of summarizing, so I didn't have to read the 72 pages.
It's cases like these where we're happy to link to the source and give credit to the people that did all the work to figure this out.
Yeah. Now, the number one is going to surprise some of you. And number one is you'll worry less about money.
Really? I would think people would be worrying a lot more about money.
You would think. Now, so number one on the list of retirement surprises focuses on retirement fears, and they actually produce a chart, and it talks about what are your greatest fears about retirement. And in the chart, it has the questions they asked. Almost every question about fears in retirement had higher responses among the 50-plus workers than retirees. In particular, it shows that outliving my savings and investments, there's a 13% gap that exists between workers and retirees. So it's kind of interesting that, and I think it's once you get into retirement, and if you got a good plan, and my assumption is they're talking to people that have kind of got their stuff together, that once they did get into retirement, they had a good plan of action, a good investment discipline, a good planning discipline, and their stress levels came down over time.
And probably a lot more predictability, right? Like even in your working years, even if it's a predictable paycheck, you could lose your job, right? And then when you get into retirement, you're typically setting up streams of income that are going to have pretty good predictability. So maybe that might be a source of why people worry a little bit less too.
It is. And one of the things that causes anxiety for people is that your working years have an end point. You started saving when you were 40 and you retired at 65. We had from 40 to 65 to get your act together, right? And save money, put money away. So you knew that you had that block of time. Once you retire, say at 65, does your retirement income need to last 10 years, 20, 30, 40? You know, you've heard me talk about my grandfather for years on the radio and he would have been 100 in May of this year. And unfortunately he passed away recently and didn't make it to 100 officially, but the last 6-8 months, we all agreed that we would just agree that he did make it to 100. It actually made him pretty happy.
We can round up. Yeah.
We can round up. Definitely. And, you know, he's an example of, he retired at 62.
Wow.
So 62 to 99.9. You know, so it lasted way longer than he thought. But then the reason it was not stressful for him, he and my grandmother did a great job of keeping their, expenses in check, but he had multiple guaranteed sources of income. So as long as he didn't spend more than he brought in, he was always net positive, So I do see that where, people come to an educational event, get referred by a friend. There's usually angst. There's some uncertainty about, hey, can we retire? How do we retire? What's it going to cost? How do those things work? Once we walk people through our process and we get them situated, they actually retire, they're seeing the paychecks come in, they're doing the things they want to do, then that anxiety drops. So I agree that people tend to worry less about money once they retire, but I'll put the caveat on there. It's because they usually have a strong plan of action that they're following.
Makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, that's great to see. I know that's one of the top retiree worries before they get to retirement. So to see that drop is fantastic news for folks and something that brings me a lot of optimism about the retirement planning process. What's the next thing that jumped out to you?
Number two, you'll retire sooner than you expect.
Oh, I've seen that play out for sure.
Oh, yeah. My father retired earlier than he thought. The article states that more than 50% of the folks retire earlier than they planned. 50%. So half of people. And it's crazy that if you think about, and there's a great chart in here, that in this, they have retired sooner than planned, 56%. Only 37% retired when they planned to do it. And only 7% retired later. So 56% did it sooner. So kind of crazy. So again, when you look at that, we may say, hey, I'm going to delay as long as possible. I'm going to 70. That may not happen. I got an email over the weekend from a client saying, hey, we're thinking we're changing course here for some personal reasons. We're thinking about this summer. So earlier than they anticipated. Now we've run the numbers. They've been back and forth, but we're going to move up their retirement date probably about 2.5 years. Now their finances support it. Everything's in check, but they're going to be one of that 56%, that does that. So number three is your retirement transition will be more abrupt than expected, which this was, the other was sooner, but they talk about the stats that there's a huge gap between expectations of 50 plus workers versus retirees regarding how they'll transition into retirement. While 44% of workers expect to transition to retirement gradually, only 13% of retirees were able to pull it off. A 31% gap.
Oh, wow. That's a huge difference.
Yeah. So on the other hand, 41% of retirees stopped working immediately versus only 23% of workers who expect the same. So an 18% gap. So the numbers, the stats just don't prove it out. It's not always this long drawn on transition. It can be more abrupt than possible.
Which that makes sense. We've got more flexibility these days to perhaps transition into retirement more slowly. But I bet that's the psychological component where once you get a taste of it, you're like, all right, now I'm done. Yeah. I'll see you later.
Or you've got a spouse that retired earlier.
Yeah, the earlier one retired. Like, no, I'm not going to go back and do this.
Yeah, so you make those transitions. Yeah. Number four is actually your life will be better in retirement. While this may not qualify as a retirement surprise, it is heartwarming and reassuring. And so he included in this, which basically 43% of retirees state their enjoyment of life has improved in retirement, and 42% say they're happier now when they were working. So pretty cool to think that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's good news, right?
It is. It is. And number five was a surprise to me, because number five is you'll travel less than you expect. Because what does everybody say they're going to do?
I want to travel.
I want to do all these things.
Yeah.
So the statistics bear out that 60% of workers have travel among their retirement dreams, and I can vouch for that, whereas only 36% of retirees actually spend their time traveling. That's a 24% gap. Mm. Now, most folks dream of traveling in their retirement. The reality is that far fewer actually do it. I don't know, and the author said, you know, I don't know what causes discrepancy, but like an example I would have, we have clients say, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy an RV, and for 4 to 6 months out of the year, we're going to be on the road in that RV. Well, that 4 to 6 months may turn into 3 to 5 weeks, you know, depending. So that doesn't always match up.
I could see it too. Just, you know, traveling is expensive. So I can pile up, like go on any, talk about expectations, right? Go on any trip. What did you budget for the trip and what did you spend on the trip? You almost always are going to spend way more than you planned originally when you were thinking, oh, well, I'll budget this for the trip. By the time you book things and then you eat out some, and, you know, every vacation ends up being more expensive. So, yeah, if you're traveling and basically taking vacation for 4 to 6 months, oops, that probably very quickly gets blown out of the budget and, yeah, dials back in.
Oh, yeah, and I find myself, you know, I say I like to travel. I don't like to be gone more than 10 days. It's just
you hit
where I'm in with where I'm in with my life. Like, yeah, you know, I like my house. I like my home life. I love my business, my team members. I've got the energy to do that.
Yeah.
And I will say that most people, the travel can start off hot and heavy in the beginning, and it may wane over time. You know, we've talked about this before. It's the go, slow go, no go, you know, phases. And so that travel definitely trails down through that go-go phase, and it kind of wanes a little bit. Number six, you'll be tempted to take Social Security early. And this is for sure true.
I don't see that as a surprise, though. I feel like people think they're going to take Social Security when it first comes out. Seems to be the push, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, these are part of our process. If someone's not taking Social Security, we run a Social Security optimization plan. Now, the word's getting out, it's often advantageous to delay taking Social Security. And, you know, you definitely want to take a strong look and do your research and homework, because we optimize Social Security to the plan that you've got put together. Like, optimizing Social Security depending on you and your spouse's lifestyle, your health, your age differences. And so you've got to look at those pieces. And we definitely want to make sure we make the best decision. Actually, the median claiming age of Social Security right now is 63.
So pretty early on. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so we've got to look at that and say, and I say for most of our clients, barring health issues, most of them are going to delay. And we look at this year by year. And a lot of that has to do with tax planning. If we're trying to do heavy duty tax planning, we're trying to keep that Social Security benefit off of the 1040 tax return and maximize withdrawals from the IRA to go to a Roth or some other instrument. But again, we want to make sure that Social Security is optimized and used as a benefit in the context of your situation.
All that makes a lot of sense, Scott, and always comes back to the plan. Looking ahead at number seven here, I find this one interesting because it has to deal with talking about money. And the surprise here is that it's going to remain taboo, although the author argues it shouldn't remain taboo.
Definitely. You know, he quotes that 44% of retirees and 59% of workers never talk about their financial plans. And it's strange in our society, we just don't talk about it. And, you know, say I deal with this every day. I talk about finances, but the reality is that most people just don't talk about it. And you've got to be careful. I think it's important that, especially as a married couple, you need to talk about money, finances, how those things work, your financial plan. It can get a little sticky when you're trying to introduce your kids. You want them to have good conversations. Whether you choose to have conversations about your specific situation is a different different discussion. But again, you want to make sure that for the at least, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer, and if you're a do-it-yourselfer, that usually your significant other doesn't enjoy it. And so you've got to make sure that either they know all your passwords, where the plan is, kind of the case emergency thing, how they manage that plan, or you need to have a co-pilot in the wings in case something happens to you. Someone that you've vetted, you get along with, have similar beliefs in, characteristics. And we have those situations where people come to us as do-it-yourselfers, and really it's from the investment standpoint. Then we start talking about maximizing Social Security, tax planning, tax preparation, all those other pieces. That's when usually people engage with us because they want to make sure at this critical time in their life, as they're getting to that retirement red zone, that they don't make big mistakes. Also to have a backup in case something happens to them.
Makes sense on that one. Yep. All right. Two to go.
Number eight, most retirees don't have legacy plans in place. This is kind of the same as not talking about money. I would say a vast majority of our clients have their legal documents in place. Why is that? It's because we have an estate plan attorney in our office. Okay. Either we've worked with estate plan attorneys in the past. Now we're fortunate enough to have an in-house estate plan attorney. So you have to ask yourself, you know, do you have a will? That's the most basic requirement of legacy. You want to make sure your beneficiary designations are up to date. The crazy thing is that only 39% of workers and 51% of retirees have a will. And
that's surprising.
It's crazy. And that 44% of workers and 31% of retirees, no documentation at all. None.
Yeah, so surprising.
You've got to quit procrastinating and start taking the steps that need to be taken. And I bang on that drum a lot. Very interesting side note. Not too long ago, I had someone I went to high school and college with reach out. Unfortunately, we just had life got busy and we've kind of lived our lives. And to my surprise, because he travels a lot. He goes, I've been listening to your podcast while you're working out. I said, well, number one, you need to get a better hobby. Listen to me when you're working out.
He must run real slow.
Yeah, exactly. He said, no, he goes, listen to what you said. And we kind of started down that estate planning situation. We've kind of handled everything to now, but it's kind of getting a little more size, a little more important. We feel like we need to look at, you know, having someone assist us. And so I said, hey, no problem. We'll get together. And I would say that estate plan is extremely important. And I said, want to make sure that gets in place. And then the other financial pieces, we can put those together. And so again, got to have those estate plan documents in place. And then the final, and this one's going to surprise a few people. Number nine of surprises, you'll wish you'd saved more money.
Mm.
So this is our final surprise. And I wish we were doing video on our podcast, but I think we're going to be doing that here soon. Right?
I'm just going to have to get a mask to wear first before had a face for radio for many years, Scott. Now we got to transition to video here. So,
well, maybe that's why we both have altered our lifestyles and gotten healthy.
Yeah, it helps a little bit. We certainly got at least ready for video.
That's right. We're giving it our best effort.
Yeah. Hey, I'll have the editing team put on some thinning AI masks or something for us a little bit if we need it.
If you need, yes. So. First, in this great chart they have, regrets. 73% of retirees wish they'd saved more money.
Mm, that's a lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, by the time you get to retirement, it's too late. You just don't have the time to make it up. Now, we'll say this doesn't necessarily apply to the vast majority of the families that we serve. We are very fortunate that people come to us in a situation where they've had all the good habits. They've been savers, kept their debt under control, have a good, you know, good long-term viewpoint of things. And they just get to a point where mistakes get bigger when the dollars get larger. And so they want someone or a team that can help them deal with the complexities that having $1 million, $2 million, $4 million, $5 million and plus in retirement, there's complexities that come with that. So this one, while it's true that vast majority of people don't save money, fortunately, it's not the case with our clientele. But I would say if you have kids or grandkids, that's one of the best habits you could get them to take on is that saving of money. And second, an interesting look at the expected primary sources of retirement income. It's an interesting chart. And again, we're you have to imagine this, but again, click on the link to follow that. Expected primary sources. If you look at that, actually age 50 plus workers, 36% that they expect primary source of retirement income. Retirees, it's 54. And so they're saying, help. They're thinking Social Security is going to be a much bigger portion of that. So it goes through pensions, savings, work. And we all know that for a lot of people, Social Security is going to be one of their largest income sources. So it pays to optimize that benefit in the context of this year plan. And then, you know, the curious about the income of the typical retiree. Based on this study, the median retiree income is $58,000. With 14% making less than $25,000, which is hard to believe.
It is.
So if you think about annual household income, I'll just focus on retirees. So the median's $58,000. 14% of retirees make less than $25,000. 19% make between $25,000 and $50,000. 31% make between $50,000 and $100,000. 23%, 100 to 200, and 9% make over 200,000. In this chart, I can tell you that the folks that we serve, that there's that 50 to 100,000 range, which is 31%. We tend to serve that upper end of that stratosphere. And then we fully serve that 100 to 200 and a 200 plus. That's kind of the sweet spot that we find ourselves in, very fortunately, that the families that we take care of are in those income ranges. So in summary, by you know looking at these topics about retirement, I think there's a lot of value here. And for those of you who've already retired, it allows an opportunity to compare your experiences to that of others. And again, it's really just information to see, hey, which side of the coin are we on here? Are we on the side of the people that have this experience because they didn't plan and have good guidance? Or are you on the side that you're much better off, higher probability of success because you were a good planner, you've got a good team of people that assist you with all the facets of financial planning, and you're confident going forward? I think if nothing else, for the folks that we're fortunate enough to work with and attract to our firm, you're going to be on the more positive side, and it's going to be enhancing what you already know, which sometimes getting a little validation that you're on the right track, not a bad thing.
Yeah, never hurts by any means. I think one of the cool things here is that these are surprises, certainly to, you know, this article is written with the context of everybody is going to be surprised by these. But I found you saying multiple times, Scott, well, yes, this is true, but our clients typically aren't surprised by this because they've got that plan in place. And that's pretty neat. It helps illustrate what happens. I'd love to see how this wouldn't be a list of nine surprises if it was based primarily off of your clients, Scott. It'd be three surprises in retirement.
Exactly. Right. Yes. And that's the way I like it.
Yeah. We would definitely minimize the amount of surprises. You can't eliminate all surprises. There's still going to be things that happen that you might be surprised with. So you're not going to bat 100% here, but you're going to lead the major leagues, I think, in batting percentage when you work with a qualified advisor and somebody like Scott, who's going to turn over all those rocks and make sure that you're doing the right type of comprehensive financial planning and eliminating these surprises big time. Pick up the phone, give Scott a call again if you've got any questions about something you heard on today's episode or you want to talk more in specifics about your planning situation. You can do that at 913-393-4724 or go online to listentoscott.com. We'll link to all that contact info in the description of today's show, along with this article about these 9 retirement surprises. Scott, thanks for bringing this to our attention and for the great insight today, and we'll chat with you soon.
Looking forward to it.
Right, take care, my friend. That's Scott. I'm Walter. We'll see you next time on Your Retirement Elevated.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.